It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. We have come to Preparation Day. This is Friday, the 28th of April. It's time for us to begin worship, so we begin by saying, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we also say that Psalm 118:24. We also say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into also the Lord. My lovely wife will have prayer for us.
Good morning, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship, and now we pray for your spirit to teach us the things we need to know this morning. We ask for the anointing spirit to be granted to our pastor by anointing his words and filling him with your Holy Spirit. These things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time, the coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about
lift up your head, your redemption is
Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we study 1 John chapter 2, and we talk about the proof that we abide in Christ, we ask that you will bless us and all the other wonderful themes within this chapter. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It begins, my friends, my little children. I love that. Some people are in their 90s, 80s, 70s, 60s, but he calls us my little children. You know, Jesus loves you. We sing that song to the children. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. You know, that applies no matter how young or old we are. Jesus really does love us. So he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. So brothers and sisters, people who say that we cannot overcome sin, they are condemned by this sentence. My children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. That means it's possible not to sin. That doesn't mean we claim to be the sinless ones, the holy ones, and we're the only ones. It just means that through Christ, we can abide in him, and we don't have to fall. Now unto him that is able, it says in Jude 24, to keep you from falling. If you don't fall into sin, you're not sinning. All right, let's read on. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. All have sinned, and without that advocate, friends, we would not be saved. But notice, we have an advocate. Didn't say we had an advocate. Jesus' death on the cross is not all that was necessary. We need an advocate. That means that when we are forgiven, we give our hearts to Christ, that covers our sin. But the record of that sin will be brought before in judgment, and you need a lawyer in a court situation. That's what an advocate is. If any man sin, we have an advocate. So if the record says, oh, he sinned again, Jesus can say, yes, but Father, I know it was a mistake. He can hold out his hands, which show the marks of the crucifixion. And if our hearts are right and we're repentant, his blood can cover us again. And he is the propitiation for our sins. That means, friends, the forgiveness of our sins, the substitute for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So is that for everybody? That means nobody has to repent, okay? Well, people say, well, just give your heart to God once. Just once saved, always saved. Well, that's a problem because that doesn't agree with other scriptures that say we endure to the end. That doesn't agree with the other scriptures that say that in the end, we will be forced to receive the mark of the beast, but we must resist that mark, friends, and we must have the seal of God. That doesn't agree with all the scriptures. The Bible says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So how do we know that we know God? If we keep his commandments. This is after Jesus died on the cross. This was the closest disciple to him, and he said, and hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, people say, well, we don't know what commandments. There was thousands of commandments. But then keep all of them that apply. How do you know which ones don't apply? Well, the Bible says the law of commandments contained in ordinances, and all of them were not ordinances, brothers and sisters. There were ordinances, statutes, commandments, it says of Abraham that he kept God's commandments, his statutes, his laws, you know, in Genesis 26. So there are different types of laws, but the fundamental law is the Ten Commandments. Now, when the rich young ruler came, and it was right before the parable of the Good Samaritan, he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, what saith the scriptures? How readest thou? So he pointed him back to the scriptures. And when the man answered that he had to love God and love his fellow man, Jesus said, you've answered right. But then he said, well, who is my neighbor? You see, he wanted to make the neighbor only the Jewish people. So my friends, listen to this now. First of all, Jesus hadn't died yet. So when love to God and love to our fellow man was touted as the prerequisites for salvation, which is what New Covenant people, New Testament Christians say it is, that we don't have to keep the commandments, we just have the law written in our hearts, we just love, you know, that kind of thing. That's what the rich young ruler said. And he was basing that on Old Testament scripture. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, you've been lied to. There's only one way of salvation. The Bible says there is no other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. That means that was the same way of salvation in the Old Testament. So the rich young ruler understood that it was love, love to God, love to our fellow man, that would be necessary for salvation. Well, watch this. Jesus said in Matthew 22, I believe, it says, as he talked about love to God and love to our fellow man, he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. To hang is to be suspended from above with no support from beneath. That means we get all our strength from God, okay? And that's what hanging means. When you love God, you're not going to have other gods, commandment number one. When you love God, you're not going to worship idols, commandment number two. When you love God, you're not going to take his name in vain, commandment number three. When you love God, of the ten, when you love God, you're going to remember the sanctified day that he set aside for worship, commandment number four. When you love your fellow man, you start with the ones that brought you into the world and honor them, commandment number five. When you love your fellow man, you would not kill, even if it's with your tongue, to destroy their reputation, commandment number six. When you love your fellow man, you're not going to have perverted sexual practices, fornication, adultery, LGBT, and every other letter that they want to add to the alphabet. When you love your fellow man, you're not going to steal from them, commandment number eight. When you love your fellow man, you're not going to lie to them. You're going to tell the truth, commandment number nine. And when you love your fellow man, you're not going to covet or have an unholy desire for something that belongs to somebody else, commandment number, because that produces envy, commandment number 10. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. My brothers and sisters, that verse was not telling us we don't need to keep the 10. It's telling us that the 10 hang on heaven's principles. That's what that verse says. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, my friends, while there are ordinances that we don't have to keep because they pointed forward to Christ, the Passover, the first fruits, the Pentecost, the Passover, first fruits, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpet, Day of Atonement, and then you have the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles. There are some different ones in there, but the point being made is some people, there's seven feasts. Some people list them a little differently, but the point is that all of them pointed forward. Now, they were ceremonial Sabbaths, but that was totally separate from the weekly Sabbaths, which pointed backward to creation. So, my friends, we have to keep God's commandments, and people miss what is being said here. How do we know him? We'll be commandment keepers. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So people that tell you we don't have to keep the Sabbath, they're lying, and the truth is not in them. People that say, oh, the Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross, they're lying, and the truth is not in them. Then if it's all, then why do they complain when somebody brings a gun in the church and starts shooting people? There's no law against that, because the commandments were done away with at the cross. The shooter could tell you that. But you know that's not true. So you don't want people shooting you in the church. You don't want people coming and robbing you in the church. You don't want fornication in the church. Most of you don't. You don't want people to lie to you in the church. You don't want to bring idols of Buddha and Hinduism and stuff like that in a Christian church. You don't want to have other gods before the supreme God. So why do you, and you don't want preachers that curse and swear on the pulpit? Because a lot of those cursing and swear words have God's name in vain, you know, GD, you know, that type of thing. You know what I'm talking about. So why don't you keep the Sabbath? That's the only one. The Bible says in James 2:10, whoso keepeth the whole law and yet offends in one point, he is guilty of all. So you can't keep a part of God's commandment. You have to keep all of them, friends, in order to be in heaven's blessing. You won't know him unless you keep his commandments. So God has been merciful. He has corrected us with these scriptures because we've gone astray listening to the word of preachers that are not preaching the truth. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him also himself also to walk even as he walked. Friends, if we abide in Christ, we will walk like Christ. Christ was the commandment keeper. Christ was holy. Christ was righteous. We would walk because he gave us strength to walk that way. We just have to take hold of that strength. And we like worldliness sometimes and don't want to take hold. He that saith he abideth in him also himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And then he says, and again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. So the bottom line is you're not saved a different way, but he's saying it is a period, it is a new thing because Christ has now come. Okay? So the old and new agree. We just don't have to do those things which were done away with at the cross. Now, there's another category of some things. God said that because mankind wanted a king, see, God was the judicial authority, and he had his priests and judges be the judicial authority. Well, there are earthly governments now, and so maybe some of the laws, the judgment that had to be put forth, we don't do that. So if certain things would allow you to stone somebody, you can't pick up a stone and stone somebody. You got to call the police. Okay, Romans 13. So we don't keep those laws anymore because they, when I say we don't keep those laws, I'm talking about even the judgments of what to do to punish a wrongdoer. In certain cases, adultery was you were stoned. In certain cases, you were just because you were disobedient to your parents. You know, people say, why would you stone somebody for that? You know, look at all the sin in the world. Look at all the gang violence. That's because nobody's honoring their parents. If we could have stopped it right there, you would make the streets safer. See, God doesn't look at things the way we look at things, friends. And so the bottom line is God knew how important that was, that people learned to respect authority, that he started with the parents. And you don't have to hit your parents and yell at your parents. So the bottom line is if you are, now maybe that's because they're not good parents and not and that type of thing, but the bottom line, friends, is that God wants us to keep the Ten Commandments. Brethren, I write no new command. We already read that. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Friends, if you don't have love in your heart for your brothers and sisters, even those who've gone astray, don't want to call them, don't want to talk to them, have nothing to do with them, you know, he that hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Now, there are certain circumstances where if a person has persisted in evil ways and has not repented of those evil ways, yes, you do have to cut ties. You can't just fellowship with him. But a lot of times it's because of stuff we heard, not because of anything we saw. Maybe we're a little jealous or whatever, and we just have nothing to do with somebody. That is hating your brother, and you're in darkness. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eye. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Okay, that's beautiful. Friends, we are not to love the world. What is in the world? Well, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Every temptation that you will ever have will be in one of those categories. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Lust of the flesh is just human desires. Those can be sexual. Those can be to eat food. Those can be to have drugs that are not, that are addictive, and other addictive substances. That's your flesh, your body, lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes is the things that you desire to have that God has not made for you. You know, wanting to be what somebody else is, wanting all the money in the world when you see other people rolling in dough, so to speak. The pride of life deals with, you know, things that would make people look at you in a powerful way, pride of life. All of the sins of the world will fit in those categories. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, when the devil said, when Jesus was unhungered, the Bible says in Matthew 4, and the devil said, take these stones and make them to be bread. Okay, well, Jesus would have not gotten that order from his father, but he was very hungry. So the lust of the flesh would have won out if he had made those stones into bread, but he would have done it at Satan's command, not by the command of the Lord. And so that was not for him to do, and so he just remained hungry and depended on God until God delivered him. That would have been the temptation of the lust of the flesh. When the devil took him up on a high pinnacle and he took him to a high place and said, throw yourself down, that would have been pride of life. Yeah, I could throw myself down and I'm not even going to be hurt. Okay? That's pride of life, friend. And then when he taketh him up, maybe it was the temple, and he said, I'll give you all of this. Just bow down and worship me. That was lust of the eyes. I mean, I don't have to die on a Calvary. You just give it over. And he's looking at all these sinners that could be saved. But that was lust of the eyes. That wasn't the plan of salvation that he and his father had set up. All sins, friends, are lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. All right. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. You see, friends, there is not just one Antichrist. The Roman Catholic Pope is Antichrist. That means he's in place of Christ in their minds. Okay, that's all it means. So there were many people that impersonated Christ or caused you to worship him as one would worship Christ. Okay, so you need to understand that your pastor could be Antichrist. If he's telling you, you better follow me and don't question me. You know, a lot of the brainwashing that takes place is religious brainwashing, my brothers and sisters. And anytime you cannot, on your own, investigate, question, disagree with a minister based on God's word, you need to run. That's a type of brainwashing. Trust me, brothers and sisters, I have no problem if you disagree with me. As a matter of fact, if you find that I've taught something that's not in the Bible, please show it to me because I will apologize and I will stand with you on the side of truth. You see, what happens is there's pride in the ministry, and we're too proud to say, I'm sorry, I said something that was not correct, or I said something that I can't validate, or I've been teaching something that I now know is not the truth. You see, we're too proud to say that, and that's why God can't use most of these ministers, brothers and sisters, is because they have too much pride, too much pride. And so you need to understand that it's brainwashing when you can't question a minister. Now, I'm not in any way saying we should not be respectful. You should be respectful. But even your own parents, you obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So if your parents ask you to do something as a child that is against the Bible, you should not do it as a child. And you stand on heaven's foundation by so doing, you see. So, my brothers and sisters, it is very important that we understand these principles. All right, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. I want to just mention the rapture theory. The rapture theory was created by a Roman Catholic Jesuit priest because the Protestants didn't understand all that Antichrist was all about. And so they did understand that the Pope was Antichrist. It just means puts himself in place of Christ, eclipses Christ, wants you to worship him as though he's Christ. Because of that, the Roman Catholic Church had to find a way to take the heat off the Pope. So a Roman Catholic Jesuit came up with a rapture theory wherein there would be 7 years of tribulation, wherein Antichrist would appear during that time. So Protestants have bought into that, and they no longer look at the Pope as Antichrist because Antichrist hasn't come yet because we haven't gotten to the tribulation. That's a lie from the pit of hell, my friends. It's a lie. And we've fallen for that lie. Most people have fallen for that lie. All right. It says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, and denieth the Father and the Son. That denieth the Father and the Son. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, that ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence, not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Praise the Lord. All right, my friends, let's pray. Father, thank you very much for these tests of discipleship and these wonderful truths and this proof beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're with Christ, that we keep his commandments, and that we walk even as he walked. We ask that you will give us the strength that you promised in these verses. We claim it, and we thank you for the lovely Jesus, and in his name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is 6:27. We'll go ahead and take our break with the torso song and have a little intermission, and then we'll be back to hear the subject of cheerfulness from Sister Lenny for our wellness segment.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Our wellness topic today by Sister Lenny is cheerfulness.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Cheerfulness. Do not allow the perplexities and worries of everyday life to fret your mind and cloud your brow. If you do, you will always have something to vex and annoy. Life is what we make it, and we should find what we look for. If we look for sadness and trouble, if we are in a frame of mind to magnify little difficulties, we should find plenty of them to engross our thoughts and our conversation. But if we look on the bright side of things, we shall find enough to make us cheerful and happy. If we give smiles, they will be returned to us. If we speak pleasant words, they will be spoken to us. When Christians appear as gloomy and depressed, as though they thought themselves friendless, they give a wrong impression of religion. In some cases, the idea has been entertained that cheerfulness is inconsistent with the dignity of the Christian character. But this is a mistake. Heaven is all joy. And if we gather to our souls the joys of heaven, and as far as possible express them in our words and deportment, we should be more pleasing to our Heavenly Father than if we were gloomy and sad. It is the duty of everyone to cultivate cheerfulness instead of brooding over sorrow and troubles. Many not only make themselves wretched in this way, but they sacrifice health and happiness to a morbid imagination. There are things in their surroundings that are not agreeable, and their countenances wear a continual frown that, more plainly than words, express discontent. You know, when we are sad and have feelings of hopelessness, letting our troubles crowd our minds, these emotions actually injure us health-wise. It can hinder the process of digestion and nutrition and bring on sickness. How? It increases stress and the immune system, making it harder for our bodies to fight infection. But cheerfulness and hope brightens the pathway of others. It wins the affection of children. It will lift the shadows and lighten tasks. Cheerfulness promotes happiness and improves health. So let us be cheerful and loving and kind. Thank you for listening today. May God bless you as you go through life being cheerful. This morning's health segment came from the book The Adventist Home, page 430 to 433. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Roll call. I am not sure where everyone is from. We have some people that aren't always regulars, but if you are here listening and you want to type where you're from, just what state you're from, we'll list that. I do recognize Georgia. I recognize Virginia. And there's about three others that I'm not sure where you're from. God bless you. On the call, we have Ohio represented. We have Emma. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Ohio. I'm sorry. We have Ohio, but we have New Jersey. We have Oklahoma. We have South Carolina. We have Georgia. And we have Missouri. We're here in Pennsylvania, and the phone lines are open, brothers and sisters. We have about 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Oh, who would like to share something today? And if you would like to share something on Facebook, please feel free to type it. We do have from Georgia, good morning, Pastor and Sister Maria. I'm sure that greeting is for everybody. And amen, amen. And from my dear friend in Virginia saying, I am here. Praise the Lord. All right, we got South Carolina on the line, and we'll take that call now. Good morning.
Good morning. Blessings, Pastor and Sister Maria. Oh, my goodness. I just want to praise God for safe traveling mercies. I just spent the past 5 days with a former coworker, I believe I've spoken to you about her before. She has hypertension, diabetes. Now she has kidney failure, congestive heart failure. And I've been witnessing to her about the health message for the past 10 years. But I literally watched her not in the past 5 days, not eat one fruit or vegetable the whole time that I was with her. She always comes to me for health advice, you know, and I tell her things to do, but she complains about her health and how she feels, but all she eats is cookies, candy, fast food. We stopped at a restaurant and she went in. I had already eaten and, you know, drank my water. She watches me, you know, drink my water all day, and she goes into this restaurant. I don't even know what the restaurant is. I've never seen it before. We're in Kentucky. She used to live in Kentucky. I don't even know what the restaurant is, but when she comes out, I immediately know what she has in there, but I knew it was pork because the smell just made me sick to my stomach. And so she eats that, and yeah, I just would like prayer for her and her family. I was able to witness to her family, her daughter and her daughter's husband, and she has a grandson that's incarcerated. I was able to go and visit with her and witness to them. The Banks family, I would just like to lift them up in prayer, and especially her. And but I'm just so thankful that the Lord brought me home safely, because her driving isn't exactly the best either. She has road rage, and she drives very carelessly and recklessly. So when I say I'm thankful for safe traveling mercies, I mean that with everything in me, because, it wasn't so safe all the time. But praise God. I'm thankful for the Sabbath. I'm praying for you and your family and your mother. And thankful always for the ministry. And keep me and my family in prayer as well, and my mother as well, when we are on our way home. Yesterday, my mother had to be admitted to the hospital, but her intestines are twisted. So sometimes she has a blockage. Her bowels come up the wrong way, if you know what I mean. This is probably about the third time this has happened. And they were talking about doing surgery, but hopefully she won't, you know, need surgery. Please pray for her too as well. Thank you.
Amen. We will. And thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything on the broadcast this morning?
Pastor, I'd like to share something.
Sure.
You know, I've talked about my aunt and uncle before. They're in a nursing facility.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle, the last time I was there, he said, I know that you don't eat meat, but can you fix me some turkey wings? And I looked at him. I said, no, Uncle, I can't do that. My uncle is sick. It amazes me how they're so sick and they're not understanding what the flesh is doing to them. He has cancer of the kidneys, the liver. She has diabetes so bad she can't even walk. She hasn't stood up in years, you know. And I used to try to help her, and she just would be so annoyed. So I kind of backed up a little bit until she asked me. But it just amazes me. They're so sick. And she chimes in and she says, yeah, can you fix me some too? And I said, no, Auntie, I can't do that. I'm not going to fix neither one of you any meat. Now, if you want me to bring you something that I fix, I'll do that. But they didn't want that. No, that's okay. You know, it just amazes me how people don't realize what the flesh eating is actually doing to them. They're so sick and they're still asking for it. You know, I'm just asking for a special prayer for them, that God will place in their minds, you know, better choices. You know, we don't know how, I don't know how long they're going to be here. He's 84 and she's 79, you know, so I don't know what God is going to do. But I just request a special prayer for them, that God will put new choices in their minds. Thank you.
You're welcome. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything? Just press star 6. If you're on Facebook, just type your comment or question. We will engage with you. And we also have Alabama on Facebook. Oh, God bless you. Is there anyone? Well, I want to remind you all, you can tell others, if they can't get on this broadcast, they can always go to torwm.org. These broadcasts are archived there, torwm.org. They're also archived on Facebook, so people can send me a Facebook friend request and then be able to go to my timeline and listen to the broadcast. We do have worship. Currently, it is at 12 noon. I'm talking about Sabbath worship. This is still going on in the morning. We have our worship and wellness broadcast 7 days a week. But we have Sabbath worship if you'd like to join us via Zoom. If you don't have the Zoom credentials, we can send them to you. Let us know. But we do post them on Facebook. But the Zoom ID is 557-587-3947. That's 557-587-3947. And the password is TORSOE in small letters, T-O-R-S-O-E. We hope you join us for worship. This is Preparation Day. Let's do all we can to be prepared for the holy time, that special sanctified time where we can spend that time with God, putting away secular thoughts, secular words, secular deeds, and just dwelling on the goodness of the Lord and worshiping Him and praising Him and doing service for Him. The Sabbath is wonderful. It's a gift of God, my friends. Let's take advantage of it. All right. God is good. I'll turn it over to my wife to close us out at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship and fellowship. And Lord, we lift up to you the petitions that have been asked. We pray that you will continue to be with Sister Angela's mother in her conditions that she's going through, for you know what's causing her to experience this, and we ask that you will heal her if it is your will, Lord. We thank you for the traveling mercies that were granted as she had truly needed them to be granted to her, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for Sister Lenny asking prayer for her family, her aunt and uncle, knowing that they are very ill, but yet still wanting to do things that can cause them not to get any better, but to perhaps even get worse. We just pray, Lord, that she can continue to be a witness to them by upholding the standards she has set before us. And may, Lord, the families, all of the families that are going through health challenges can be convicted in such a strong way where they can see the need that their lifehood or their health ways, Lord, needs to change. And we just pray that you will work with every heart as you have promised that you would do. And may we keep them before you. We pray that you will bless this broadcast and those that have come out to hear and those who have joined and those who have yet, that what was mentioned today would be a lesson for all to learn and to be able to dwell in your spirit as you lead, guide, and direct us. Help us today with preparation, and we pray that you will bless us in these efforts and help us to be ready to usher in your holy Sabbath. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, we do our part in faith, God, with open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song is, I Will Trust in the Lord. of the Master's Corral.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will.